It's the JT the Brick Show.
They get the snap ball. Hand off Jacobs. Has the first down of the big hole. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Raiders.
Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He is smothered. Error brought down. Max Crosby came around for the sack.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Shotgun snap to Stidham. Lob to your corner for Adams. Makes the grab in the corner. Touchdown, Raiders. An absolutely perfect pass, and Adams dragged his feet in the back left corner.
And now, filling in for JT today is Harry Ruiz.
Raider Nation, what's good? It's always a pleasure to be here on the airwaves on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on your radio here in Las Vegas and outside of the borders of Clark County, of course, on the Raiders app and on the brand new LV Sports Network app that you can tune in to every radio station, sports station here in the Lotus Broadcasting family in Las Vegas and, of course, Raider Nation Radio being a part of it. I already have it on my phone. You guys should get it too. It is very, very good. I appreciate you guys tuning in today. I know some folks had a long weekend, so today you might be enjoying some time off with your family after celebrating 4th of July yesterday. I was walking through the halls here in Lotus Broadcasting, and it's kind of a ghost town, but we got some hardworking folks. Shout out to Lucy over there in the front desk that are always here. Of course, Bobby Machado, who is a man that is a man of many talents and is always here representing Lotus Broadcasting. Behind the controls. And of course, Harry Ruiz here with you today for this show where we will be talking, of course, football. We got baseball action, a day full slate yesterday with every squad, including my Dodgers, that for the second day in a row, they got whooped by the Arizona Diamondbacks, the defending National League champions. I still can't believe I gotta say that last part, but they are there. They did their thing. They played in the World Series last year, and they're starting to get hot right here in the kicking off of the second half of the Major League Baseball season. Our first guest today is actually involved in Major League Baseball, former Major Leaguer, son of a legend in baseball, Jose Mota. His father, Manny Mota, legendary number 11 for the Dodgers. Jose, he played Major League Baseball. He actually played minor league ball here in Las Vegas. So that's an interesting tidbit. We're going to talk about Dodger baseball with him. We're also going to hit on a topic where you know Vin Scully, right? Vin Scully, legendary broadcaster for not only the Dodgers, but he used to call NFL. He used to call golf action. He was an all-star when it came to broadcasting. Rest in peace, Vin Scully. On the Spanish side, the Dodgers had Jaime Jarrín, who called games for 64 years. And that's incredible. Heck, I hope I get to live 64 years of life. That man worked in calling baseball games for 64 years. And now, Jose Mota, he is part of the team that now has the Spanish broadcast of the Dodgers. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation. So we will be able to catch up with him. Also, Vinny Bonsignor, who is a usual guest here on this show on Wednesdays, he will be here actually in studio on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM here on the JT the Brick Show to talk some Raiders football because training camp is right around the corner. It's incredible. You know that the rookies, they report on the 21st. You got the veterans reporting on the 23rd. That means we are 2.5 weeks away from the Silver and Black reporting in Southern California, and things will kick off officially when it comes to getting those legs under their belts and getting everything ready. And you know that it's going to be interesting. There were good things. There were bad things. There were middle-of-the-road things when it came to those OTA sessions. And I was very happy to see most of the players out there on the field when they were voluntary. The mandatory minicamp, everybody was out there on the field. That was fantastic. The rookie minicamp, all the kids that are first-year players and some that were coming back for their second year, they were out there doing their thing. And it's going to be a very, very interesting year for the Silver and Black, and it's Antonio Pierce's first shot to really be the man in charge. He won't be playing with that cloud over his head of if he does good, he will be able to keep the job. If he doesn't do good, he won't be able to keep the job as an interim last season. And can you imagine that kind of pressure where he wasn't even a coordinator? He was the linebackers coach in the NFL with the Raiders for a season and a half. And all of a sudden, It was like, okay, we need a new voice for the second half of the season. Who do we go with? You've seen Patrick Graham get opportunities to interview for head coaching positions with other squads. That was an option. Of course, on the offensive side of the ball, the man that was a head coach, he was also calling plays. Well, the offensive coordinator, he wasn't even an option either because he also was let go by the team. So you were looking around and you were like, okay, let's not mess with the defense. Those guys are actually doing pretty good. If we take away the man that is in charge of leading that unit, then we're going to be in a hard spot because a head coach, he has to be paying attention to everything, to all three phases of the game and sometimes even more than that. So Antonio Pierce, I think, was the excellent candidate. And look at that. The Raiders struck gold. And I also got to say, folks, it's hard to preach patience for my Raider Nation brothers and sisters. But if the team doesn't start hot off the box at the beginning of the season, tranquilos, relajados, calm down. It's the beginning. New offensive system. We can't expect neither Gardner or Aiden O'Connell first game to go out and score 63 points like the Raiders did against the Chargers. AP, what did he ask for? 24 points a game? I think that's something that this squad can do. I think that's something that this team can achieve when it comes to putting points on the scoreboard. And the defense, man, seeing the way that they're doing things, it's going to be interesting. And something I wanted to talk about today as well was I'm seeing HBO. They're promoting Hard Knocks big time. And I remember the old school days where what was the one thing Hard Knocks that we would get every year? Preseason. No access after that. Once the preseason was over, once some guys were cut, that's it. That's over. That was Hard Knocks, which was entertaining. It's always great to pull back the curtain and be able to see some stuff that sometimes not even the media can watch when it comes to football teams. Even though we're there in the building, even though we're covering practice, we're on the side of the field, not on the field, not hearing the players, what they're talking to each other or what they're talking to the coaches. And especially nowadays, I don't know about you, Bobby. I don't know if you love reality TV. No. And he says, absolutely not. There's things in reality TV that when executed the right way can become great TV. I loved watching back in the day those HBO specials when it came to boxing with Floyd Mayweather. 24/7 was the name of that series. I absolutely loved it. They would get you engaged. They would get you behind the scenes to see all the things that fighters are going through. And when in my time in Mexico, I was fortunate to be able to cover some boxers from the region where I used to live in, where they would open their gyms for me, and I would be able to follow them during a training session or even before that, how they prepare, the limited breakfast they can have, the way that they cut weight, the way that when I would travel to cover some of their fights, the guys on Fridays, which was weigh-in day, it was almost impossible to look at their direction because they were so pissed off after cutting weight, after not eating breakfast that morning, and they're just waiting for the moment to get on that scale. Once they get on that scale and do the final face-off after the weigh-in, the first thing they do, they hydrate. The next thing they do, they go and eat and get a big piece of steak in their body and be like, okay, now I am who I am. And getting those behind-the-scenes looks in person for me in boxing, but also seeing it on TV with 24/7 with HBO, seeing it on TV with Hard Knocks, that's the kind of reality TV that I enjoy. I don't like the Kardashians and all those other kind of things that folks sometimes put out there on TV. It might be for some folks, or well, not some folks, for millions of folks that make those franchises very, very popular. For me, I like seeing the sports documentaries and following folks that actually are doing some entertaining stuff and get you involved in storylines.
I haven't seen a decent documentary on sports since they got rid of the 30 for 30 thing. I take that back. The one before it, Outside the Lines. That's the one I meant.
Outside the Lines. And that was more like just reporters putting their two cents and also doing some investigative reporting. But
yeah, well, there was a little bit of fact involved as opposed to the usual opine.
And there's some good 30 for 30s out there as well. Not all of them are fantastic.
The one they do with the fake Al Davis was horse crap as far as I was concerned.
I didn't like that one, but the Straight Out of L.A. one, I enjoyed that one with the Raiders. There's some, the Fernando Mania one, of course, I'm biased with that one.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, once you come up with a bad one, you've lost me. So,
there you,
you
go.
Know, after the Al Davis thing, it's like, nah, we're out. But I've got a lot of problems with ESPN these days anyway.
Heck, man, I remember when I had to buy the first two volumes of 30 for 30s on DVDs. And I enjoyed watching them on DVD.
But?
Nowadays, it's ESPN Plus. If you don't have ESPN Plus, you're not watching all of these documentaries, or you have to go on the World Wide Web and figure out a website where you can find those.
Somehow, I think I'll survive without it.
There you go. But I enjoy those. And something that the Raider Nation could be looking forward to is having a Raider be looked at in a different way behind the scenes that we might not see as open as we do with press conferences. But on July 10th, next week, Monday, or is it Monday? Or no, sorry,
yeah.
Wednesday.
Something like that.
July 10th.
It's next week. Whatever.
July 5th. In 5 days, Receiver from Netflix. It's going to premiere. Last year, it was Quarterback, the series that followed Patrick Mahomes, that followed Marcus Mariota, that followed Kirk Cousins. And it was an interesting behind the scenes, and that I love that folks could see some of the trials and tribulations that NFL players go to just to be ready to play on Sunday. Because people think that it's a regular thing a human being could do, just get paid millions of dollars, get on the field and throw a football. With all the hits they take, with all the preparation they got to go through. I remember Brett Favre back in the day said that on Mondays he felt like he got hit by a truck. He needed help to get out of bed, that it wasn't an easy thing to do. But that was just things he said in interviews back then. Now you can actually see that kind of process. And Davante Adams, he's going to be a part of that series, Receiver. So I'm going to be glued to my TV once it premieres on Wednesday to see what starts going down. I don't know about you, Bobby. You're a Netflix
nothing,
guy or no?
There's nothing to know about me. Absolutely not. I wouldn't be watching that, no. You know, I don't care. You know, I'm not one of those people that has to know every single little minutia detail about something. I just don't give a bleep. You know, I would much rather go catch the ball. That's all I want you to do. Just, I don't care what you do in your personal life. I don't want to see the wife, the kids. I don't care what your favorite food is. I don't give a crap about any of that. Just catch the beeping ball. Just win, baby. That's all you got to freaking do right now. You do that for me, you're a rock star. I don't give a damn about the rest of it. I don't care what you had for breakfast. I don't care what your wife looks like. I don't care what kind of car you drive. Just win the bleeping ball game. That's all I want to see.
So here you go. Newer generations. You know their attention span is shorter, that they might not be into the game the same way that older generations are, or middle-aged generations
are. May
your
kids get off my gravel.
Exactly. The old man yelling at the cloud, or an old man yelling at an old man about, hey, that's not the way that things used to be done.
I just saw that last week.
The old man yelling at an old man?
Yeah, it was a debate.
I know. Exactly, right?
Oh.
Exactly.
Sorry.
And that's where I thought about it, because I saw it on Twitter as well.
I'll tell you the truth. I didn't watch the debate. I went across the streets of a nursing home with a rack of beers. I found a Democrat and a Republican, gave them both three beers. I sat back and watched the show. Way more entertaining.
Way more entertaining. I'm not a politics guy. It's just started popping up on my timeline because there's people that actually are into politics.
And I ain't one of them.
Which seem to be important, but I'm like, hey, you know what? Keep me in the sports loophole and I'll stay there and I'll enjoy.
That's all I want to hear about right now. Hey, I want to see Raider wins. I want them to go out week one again. What is Denver or San Diego, whichever one
Los
they got.
Los Angeles, the Chargers.
Beat the living bleep out of them. Seriously.
And that's something where I understand.
Set the tone for the freaking season.
I understand.
Beat the bleep out of them.
I understand the Harbaugh love, right? I mean, he went to a Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers. They lost against the Ravens. They had that light issue, the electricity issue at the Superdome way back when. He went over to Michigan. It took him a while, but he finally was able to get over the hump with Ohio State, beating them, making it to the Final Four. Then again, being able to win the national championship, and now that all these issues with people investigating stuff, he's like, okay, now it's time to go to the NFL. I understand the pomps and circumstance of, oh, Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
But for people to, especially the national media,
well,
I'm watching
the national media. That's a whole other story.
And they're like, oh, Jim Harbaugh is going to change this team on day one. I'm like, dude,
mm-hmm.
you saw the talent they lost?
Mm-hmm.
You saw the players that they let go?
Mm-hmm.
And you expect them to just, because they drafted a wide receiver in the fourth round, because they got Justin Herbert, he's going to be the second coming of Antonio Gates, the next great ball catcher with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, chill.
Yep.
Relax.
I hear this bull bleep every bleeping year. I've been doing this for so long now. Every year it's the same song and dance. The Chargers are going to be so good. The Chargers are going to be this. Yabba dabba doos. You know what? You get him week one. Make sure that Justin Herbert, no, don't injure him, but make sure he's sitting in an ice bath at the end of that game looking at those bruises going, damn, that hurt.
Exactly. And
that's,
you know,
what you want to do. That's the message you send, because that message gets sent to Baltimore and Kansas City and all these other towns. You better watch out for those Raiders. They're going to beat the living bleep out of you.
And it's not like the old school days where you had those monsters for the Raiders just knocking down quarterbacks. Sometimes even 5 seconds after the ball was thrown, you got to do it within the limits of what is allowed, because this league is protecting the quarterback sometimes too much. But I understand that that's where the value in play is, because look at all those replacement quarterbacks that were coming in last year. Some of them had quality. Most of them were like, how the heck is this your QB2 on your squad? How did that guy make the roster? There wasn't anybody else that you could pick up as a backup. And you had a lot of those guys going out there because injuries just keep piling up. And now they are, and that's with the players being protected. So let's what goes down there.
You're going to have to pardon me on this, because I've been doing a lot of this. For those of you that don't know, we're doing this thing starting Monday, the Raiders' top 10 games of all time. You might have heard something about it once or twice on this show. The whole thing starts Monday. Anyway, long story short, I've been up to my ass in alligators trying to go through all this Raider sound from the 60s and the 70s. The 70 Raiders, we're going to do that one on Monday. Man, those guys fought. You know, those guys, they were ready to go. They let the other team know who they were. You know what I mean? It was the other team, they weren't running off and doing interviews after the game. They were limping off, and they were holding their body parts, and ow, very, very ow. That's the kind of message you got to send to the rest of the league, man.
I was listening to the Rush podcast with Max Crosby. He had Howie Long as a guest, and Howie was saying that the first football game he went to watch, it was a Raider game, and that the moment he saw the Raiders players come out of the tunnel, he was like, holy crap. He was like, just by walking out, they had won the game. Their physical, the way that they just, the presence that they had, that they had won the game that way. And you want the Raiders to be that way as well, where people look across the field and it's like, holy, you know what? Look at Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins.
And you know what? They got these guys right now. They do. They got some big freak. I mean, I'm on 5'5 and 120 pounds, guys, all right? They got some big guys out there. Dude, all they got to do is have the right proper mental attitude.
Dude, I was there those days, the mini camp with Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby. Those dudes were on fire every single snap. And they let everybody know. And guess what? The ones that were taking it were the Raiders offense. So everybody knew, the quarterback, the offensive linemen, the tight ends, everybody could hear it. And that's the way I want it to happen with the Raiders once the season starts. Before we go to break, I want to give a big shout out to the De Castro Verde Law Group, brotherswin.com, 702-222-9999. Alex and Orlando De Castro Verde, they know how to get, you know what, done. They get the job done. They make sure to treat you like family and to get the best deal for you. 702-222-9999. Save that number. You never know when you're going to need it. Time for a break, Raider Nation, here on today's JT the Brick Show. It's a Friday. We just had a stacked 4th of July when it comes to baseball, and we're going to talk with somebody involved in baseball, Jose Mota, Spanish broadcaster for the Dodgers. He will be joining us after this break. Let's go to it. We'll be right back.
Tani waiting from the left side. The right-hander Feltner deals. Swing on. Base hit to left center field. Here comes Lux to score. Here comes Biggio to score. They're going to wave home Hernandez. He will score and tie the game. A two-out bases clearing double for Shohei Ohtani.
We are back. It's Friday here on the JT The Brick Show, and we are joined by a very special guest all the way from Los Angeles, from Dodger Stadium, Jose Mota, who is the Spanish radio broadcaster for the Boys in Blue. You can listen to their broadcast out here in Las Vegas as well at 103.5 in the channel number 2. Jose, a pleasure to be able to chat with you here on Raider Nation Radio. I met you last year out there at Wrigley Field before Dodgers versus Cubs. Now, being able to chat with you on the radio, it's a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing great, Harry. Great to be with you. And I know we've been planning this for a couple of years, and we finally got it to come to fruition. So certainly looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely. So the Dodgers, obviously, there's no Major League Baseball team in Vegas yet, but the Dodgers have a big following out here. And I got to talk to you about the Boys in Blue. No Mookie Betts for the last couple of weeks after he got injured, and the Dodgers seem to not lose a step. What's going on? What's working for them at the moment?
Well, you know, Harry, this team has so much talent, so much depth. And, you know, in my third full season here with the Dodgers, and over even looking from the other side when I was with the Angels for 20 years, it seems like injuries piled up one after the other after the other. And it was like it didn't matter what great a start it was, they found a way to get through that. And there's a culture that you build based on your talent in spring training and preparing guys to say, hey, you may not make the team out of spring training, but you know what? Case like Andy Páez, you're going to be here. Go out there and do your job. Keep developing. Keep improving. And that's why they're so good for so many years. And, you know, this has lasted for many years and generations because the same philosophy has applied. They have not wavered off of that. They know what's worked. You know, the founding fathers, I want to say, set a foundation that has been respected through generations. Mookie goes down. Here comes Shohei moving up. Don't tell Shohei where he's hitting because it doesn't matter where he's hitting. I mean, and the rest of the guys have picked it up too. So, listen, you miss Mookie Betts. There's no doubt about it. A unique talent himself. But you cannot be thinking about or making excuses about why you're playing poorly when things are not going your way, thinking about who's not here. But, I mean, I counted 15 injuries last year. From the Kershaws to the Urias to, I mean, you name it, Mookie himself and Muncy and guys stepped up again. They won 100 games. The year before, they won 111 games. Mookie was out with a broken rib. I remember that. And here we are once again. One goes down. You take care of business. You welcome him back. Also, that allows them to not rush back because there's not that urge of saying, my team really needs me. They want to push the medical staff to do things perhaps that they're not ready for. And exactly where we're sitting right now is a good position.
Jose Mota is our guest here today. Jose, everybody from the outside of the Dodgers bubble looks at what the Dodgers are doing, and they think that they're just buying talent left and right. And yeah, they're spending money with guys like Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto. But can you please explain to folks that they are actually one of the teams that do the best job when it comes to drafting and actually using that talent? Because you look at that rotation, and you got Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone. You look at Will Smith, who earned a big contract extension. Austin Barnes, who has been there for over a decade. Andy Páez, who you just mentioned. I mean, the Dodgers, they have a lot of homegrown talent, and they take care of it.
That's the truth, Harry. I mean, you know what? It's great to have the resources. Yeah, I mean, if I own a team, I want resources. I want the TV deals and the advertising deals and the attendance. Fans show up here. I mean, they cross over 2 million fans already, and it's just remarkable how people are showing up again year after year after year. With all this being said, keep in mind, and I'm glad you bring this up, when you win a lot, remember, you don't draft high, okay? You're not picking up, you know, off the top of the fruit and saying, oh, I got, you know, top 5 picks, is one of them is mine. You don't. In other words, you have to do such a good job and be so tenuous about who you draft, and they've done a fantastic job. Again, a 5th-round draft pick, a 2nd-round draft pick, but these guys perhaps, remember, some of these guys were overlooked by other teams thinking they want signability or they want a different type of talent, or maybe they didn't belong in their system or philosophy. And here are the Dodgers, now drafting number 1, year after year after year, and more coming, believe me, getting guys that come and contribute and are ready to roll as soon as they get here.
Of course. And talking about Shohei, you got a unique perspective because you were broadcasting the Angels when Shohei arrived to Anaheim. And now you have the opportunity to call the games out here with the Dodgers as well in Los Angeles. Shohei Ohtani, a unicorn, somebody that we probably might not be able to see a talent like that again in Major League Baseball. What makes him so special, if I may ask, Jose?
He is mighty talented, but also the guy works at it, man. I mean, this guy doesn't just show up at 6 o'clock and say, let my talent show. No, no, no. He is so diligent about his work. I saw it in Anaheim. I saw it with the Angels. I also saw, Harry, the struggles of Shohei Ohtani. I mean, that first spring training, let me tell you, man, it was ugly. Shohei couldn't hit. Shohei couldn't put the ball in play. Shohei was hitting a lot of choppers. Shohei couldn't pitch. Shohei couldn't throw strikes. And it was bad. But through all that, I never saw him waver off his beliefs. He was just getting ready for a season. And his system, his technique is so unique too. But he was there early. He was there late. He knew exactly what he needed to work on, as he is today. I mean, you see the numbers he's putting up again offensively. But he's here in the afternoons out in 100-degree weather taking care of his arm and his rehab. Think about that. His position player who's rehabbing his arm as a pitcher. And then on top of that, there's other things that people don't see, which is what happens with the medical staff and the training staff inside the areas of rehabilitation. I mean, it's extensive, and I applaud the guy, because another issue, obviously, that he's dealt with is the distractions, you know, the interpreter and the many people that did not believe Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, now they're looking at why he's so special. He can go out there and compartmentalize things as good as anybody and just let the talent flow on the field. He loves playing the game since a little kid. He plays like a little kid. But I think also, Harry, it's fair to say that this environment is feeding him into another level of thinking about winning, about more after the end of September that he's striving for. But, man, his focus is so intense and so divine with all the group that he has here. I think he's pretty much a byproduct today as a Dodger of being around Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and Kike and Rojas and guys like that, because this is what he expected. He wanted to win, and here he is doing one thing, winning.
Hey, like we say in Vegas with the Raiders, just win, baby. That's what Shohei wants to do as well. Jose Mota, our guest Dodgers broadcaster all the way from Los Angeles. Jose, when you talk about the Dodgers, you got to talk about Clayton Kershaw. There was a possibility that he was going to pitch out here in Las Vegas with Oklahoma City, but he got pushed back a week. How important is he for this organization with how long he has been with the team and with his desire to win another World Series?
I mean, this guy's a walking Hall of Famer right now. And you see Kersh right now also engaged with his teammates in early batting practice and taking care of his rehab. In a way, it was good that he got pushed back a little bit. Things were flowing very nice, and he was pretty much, I would say, ahead of schedule. But remember, that body is not 23 anymore, 24. And at the same time, when your body speaks to you, you listen. I'm glad that Kersh, even going back to last year and the year before, has been very open to understanding that what's expected of him is not 6 months out of the season. It's more than his experience and his ability to lead this ball club, to be a mentor to the young core of good pitchers. And he's important because he's a proven horse. He understands what playing meaningful games in August, September, and October means. Obviously, he's got a chip on his shoulder about October last year again. And what I saw so far in rehab in the early games that I see here on the field, his stuff looks pretty good. Velocity's there. The sharpness of the breaking ball's there. And you saw him rehabbing against minor league players and some guys here off the bench. And you would think that he's playing in a regular season game the way he is. That mentality is needed. And certainly I cannot wait to see him on the mound again.
It'll be absolutely incredible. Jose, we know that you are in the Spanish radio broadcast booth, that you can listen to those broadcasts, by the way, here in Vegas, 103.5 HD2. How surreal is it being able to take over and be a part of that broadcast with Pepe Iñiguez and with Fernando Valenzuela after Jaime Jarrín, first ballot Hall of Famer, was at it for decades?
I mean, it's been a great honor. This is where I grew up. The Angels were terrific to me. For 20 years, I got to do so many things there and expand my role and tap more into the English side of things. I started there in Spanish with Ivan Lara back then in 2002, where we experienced a world championship. But here, working with Pepe, Pepe and I worked together back in, my goodness, like 2001, when I was just starting in broadcasting with Fox. And I got a chance to actually sit for Jaime when Jaime went on vacation in spring training on Vero Beach. So that's a long story of me and Pepe. Fernando, obviously, I've known since I was 15 years old. As a Dodger son, with my dad obviously being here, it's been a terrific experience for me. But, you know, the Dodgers, like the Angels, have allowed me to not only do Spanish, but do English. So I'll be sitting in some sound with Charlie Steiner, Rick Monday. Pretty soon I'll be with Steven Nelson and company, and the opportunity to do radio and TV. But, you know, perhaps the most important thing is being able to communicate in two languages on a daily basis with the Dodger fans, it's just beyond my dreams. And certainly I know there's more that I can do and that I will do. But at the same time, I enjoy every single day that I'm here with even our producer engineer, Fred Mesa. We put some shows together, do the pregame show and put some features and take you inside the game a little bit as a player. As a player that experienced a lot, pretty much I played in Vegas. That was where my call-up came from back in 1991, and I'll never forget that city because it still means a whole lot to me. But being a Dodger is pretty much being right there in the Major League in the thick of things. Family environment, winning environment, and truly an iconic franchise worldwide.
Jose Mota is our guest. Jose, do you miss Cashman Field?
Of course, because I had a couple bombs there. That double wall, man, it was starting to hit home runs there. If he had line drives, you would not hit a lot of home runs there, but I got a couple up in the air, and the thin air took care of things for me.
There you go. And actually, now that we got a new ballpark out here, the Las Vegas ballpark out there in Summerlin. And like I said, OKC was out here earlier in the week, and we hope to get someday the Dodgers with games in the potentially future ballpark. What do you think about baseball in Las Vegas, potentially the A's coming out here?
I would hope that with the success the Raiders have had, that at least that is a print of what could happen there with the team. Obviously, with the A's and the beautiful ballpark, which I've seen, and you know, Tim Neverett, who also another one of my broadcast partners, is very involved with his sons over there too, as a young broadcaster, and he tells me all the stories about the support, the beautiful areas, and the expanding areas, and the expansion, and the many things they can still do there. Hopefully, it'll happen, and hopefully, it'll be sustainable because I know that you know, different than the NHL, different than the NFL. Baseball is a grind of 81 games at home where you need the support, and being a transitional city as it is, but now expanding so much, I would hope that the support will be better as expected, better than expected, because we also know that there's so much going on in Vegas in terms of advertising and revenue streams and projections for you know, who would have thought that baseball today would be pretty much right linear and in tune with the betting. And, you know, all the things that are going on with the gambling and baseball. So at least it's a marriage that has developed early that I think could be expanded even more if a team lands in Vegas or when a team lands in Vegas.
Eventually, it's going to happen for sure. And shout out, of course, to Matt Neverett. You can listen to the Aviators game here on this station on Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. Jose, your father, a legend. My favorite number was number 11. So when I rock number 11, it's like, hey, Manny Mota, you always think about him. I had the honor of meeting him. Polo Asensio took me into his booth. Yeah, my good friend Polo took me into the booth to meet him one day, and it was an absolute pleasure. He's actually in the pregame show on Sundays. Can you tell the folks about it a little bit?
Well, my dad is part of what I do on Sunday. So when I took over and became full-time here with Pepe and Fernando, I also took over the pregame show, which Pepe and I did and shared for the last couple of years. And then I'm coming up with new ideas. I spoke with people at the front office as to how we can expand and tap more into the youth and the new audiences and this new generation too. And obviously, what never goes away is baseball history and stories and anecdotes and tie-ins. So my dad is the guest on Sundays on the pregame show on Tesala de los Dodgers. And what I do is I say, Dan, say, for example, this past weekend we were in San Francisco. Willie Mays had just passed. Willie Mays was one of his best friends. And I said, Dad, the subject will be Willie Mays, what he meant to you. Tell me some stories. So he goes on and on and on forever. I mean, if we're playing in Pittsburgh, I say, hey, stories about Clemente or Manny Sanguin or Willie Stargell. So I try to tie it up to things that are happening around the Dodgers or, you know, even Vero Beach. Talk about Vero Beach as we come out of spring training. And my dad, obviously, who's been involved in broadcasting for a very long time himself, and he was part of as to why I became involved with broadcasting too at a young age. It's just tremendous to listen to the stories, to talk about the segregation and the things they went through, also the hard times they went through. But it's great. I mean, thankfully, it's been expanding quite nicely, and I think the audience has received it well, and mainly is engaging the young people to understand more about the history and what goes on, Harry, inside an organization, because it is a long season, but it's never boring.
Hey, the grind never stops when it comes to baseball broadcasting. And Jose Mota, you're doing a fantastic job. Obviously, in LA, you guys are on KTNQ, 10:20 a.m., the flagship station, but you're all over the place, including here in Vegas, 103.5 FM, HD2. If you want to listen to the Spanish broadcast, Jose Mota, Pepe Iñiguez, and should be Hall of Famer Fernando Valenzuela is there. We got to get him in the Hall of Fame one
Number
of these days.
Number 34 man. Belongs right there. He belongs right there. There's no doubt about it. What he did for this city, for the Latin community, for baseball overall globally, and Mexico and all of Latin America, with his humble beginnings, is more than deserving. Let's look beyond the numbers and know that the impact he has had, as others have had that are in the Hall of Fame, goes beyond anything that you can measure only with the numbers. Fernando, number 34, deserves to be a Hall of Famer.
Hey, out here we got the same situation with Jim Plunkett, Latino, two-time Super Bowl champion, not in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Come on, they got to respect, put a little bit more respect on the people that deserve it. Jose, tell the folks where they can follow you on social media.
Very easy, Jose Mota, 05. I got the 05 because 5 is my favorite number going back to Cal State Fullerton where we won a national championship. So Jose, J-O-S-E-M-O-T-A, 05, both on X and on Instagram. One of the things I do on Instagram too is I try to take players' perspectives, talk about hitting, talk about feeling, talk about mentality and things like that in both in English and in Spanish. So also the kids can relate to is we need to do a better job teaching the game so the young generation understands the game. And one of the things too, Harry, is young generation is make them understand that, you know, the Mike Trouts of the world, whom I saw develop, Shohei Ohtani, who I've seen right in front of my eyes, Albert Pujols and Vladdy Guerrero, Francisco Rodriguez and Orlando Cabrera and Nomar Garcia Parra, they might be super talented and they were, but hey, I also saw David Eckstein. I saw Adam Kennedy. I've seen guys that were not supposed to be stars become stars because they grinded it out. And I want the young people to understand that. And coaches and parents to understand that. Just encourage your son, encourage your kid, encourage your softball girl just to be herself and develop those skills because it is the only skills they're going to have. They keep developing, but mainly to never lose love of the game and the passion they have.
Absolutely. Keep enjoying baseball. And I love what you do on Instagram because the younger generation, that's where they're stuck on their phones, checking out social media, and you're putting great content out there for them. And also, I mentioned the radio stations, but MLB At Bat, the app, you guys can check out the TV broadcast and then put the Spanish broadcast on it too.
You know what else? I participate every night on the English side of things with David Vasse on AM 570. Which is a lot of people stop me during the ballpark. They're like, oh, we're going to go drive home and listen to you. So make sure you say hello or at least take us inside something. Sometimes people ask me like, hey, what are you going to be talking about tonight? I go, here's a little tip for you. Nobody told you this, but I'm going to be tapping on this and this subject. So I'm glad I can expand and connect with so many people here in Southern California, pretty much, you know, globally too.
I want to see you a little bit more on Sportsnet LA. I saw you more there last year, so I want to see you a little bit more. But, hey, Jerry Hairston, J-Lo, James Oney, you got all the former players, Adrian Gonzalez, that I remember watching at the ballpark and getting autographs and pictures with. Now they're the broadcasters as well, and they're doing a good job, right?
They're fantastic. And, you know, the Dodgers have been so good at flexibility in terms of setting me in. But I think the main thing is setting things in the Spanish side of things. Jaime obviously gave me his blessing, and Pepe and Fernando too has been fantastic to work with. But I think it's important to, you know, set your ground with Espanol, knowing that opportunities in English will always be there, including with MLB Network, where I've always worked with internationally and along the World Baseball Classics. But I'm quite happy where I'm at because Jaime gave me the blessing. And certainly one thing that happened too was, you know, when this opportunity came aboard, the Dodgers said, we would love for you to have this opportunity. There's other candidates. And, we know how much you do in English, and your market has been established there on your brand too. But you know what? My roots are in Espanol, and certainly that will never leave me, ever, ever.
Representando a los Latinos, representing all the Latinos. Jose, we hope to see you out here in Las Vegas when Major League Baseball comes. Eventually, it's going to happen. So we hope
before
to see
that,
you
know
here,
what?
Man.
I used to love Rincón Criollo, man. Had my Cuban food on Las Vegas Boulevard. It was fantastic.
It might not be as cheap no more, but there's definitely some good Cuban food. There's some arepas, of course, some Mexican food.
El Lindo Michoacán?
Yes, sir. That's actually my favorite spot out here when it comes to Mexican food.
It's a great spot. Oh, yeah. Those Coca-Cola ribs I had there. I'll never forget. Oh, my goodness. You
gotta
get
that. I got hungry. Next time you're in town, lunch is on me, brother.
You got it, my brother. Thank you so much.
There he goes, Jose Mota, Spanish radio broadcaster for the Dodgers. Check him out on social media and on the radio. Thank you, Jose.
De nada, mi amigo. Arigato gozaimasu.
We'll have some Mexican food for lunch and some Grimaldi's Pizzeria for dinner next time that Jose is in town, because Grimaldi's is hands down my favorite pizza in Las Vegas. Head over to their four locations in Summerlin on the Strip, Southwest Las Vegas, and in Green Valley. GrimaldiPizzeria.com. Order online. Let's go to a break. We'll come back to talk some boxing, because what the heck is going down with Ryan Garcia?
It was astonishing. It's one of the most thrilling and unexpected things I've ever seen in a boxing match. And right now, Ryan Garcia's level of stardom is going to skyrocket to a point beyond anything we've seen before since Muhammad Ali. He's going to be the biggest thing in boxing since Ali as of this moment.
Bigger than Floyd Mayweather.
Bigger than Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather couldn't entertain like this. Floyd Mayweather was a guy who won fights. Ryan Garcia didn't win a fight tonight. He upset the whole sport. He turned it inside out. He made himself the epicenter of boxing.
That's one of the most respected voices in the history of boxing, Jim Lampley, after Ryan Garcia upset Devin Haney in their fight in late April this year. Less than 3 months later, oh, what a turn of events has happened since. Of course, before the fight, Ryan Garcia was acting all crazy. You were looking at videos that the DAZN was producing and that he was doing during his press conferences. And you were looking at him and you were like, this guy isn't right. His mind isn't at the right place. Can he actually fight? And then he goes on during the press conference, says, if I'm overweight, I'll pay you $500,000 per pound. They agreed on that deal. And then at the end of the day, he ends up being 3 pounds overweight, so he has to pay $1.5 million to Devin Haney. He beats Devin Haney, and then later it comes out that he was positive for a PED in his test. He gets suspended for 1 year. He's arrested for damaging a hotel room in Beverly Hills for an estimated $15,000. And then the other night, he goes on a rant online and Twitter Spaces is what it's called, or X Spaces. I don't know what it is nowadays, but he starts making some racist comments. He starts being discriminatory towards the Muslim community. He starts saying some stuff that you're like, what the hell is going on? Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the WBC, the World Boxing Council, he posted on Twitter that exercising his authority as a president of the WBC, he was expelling Ryan Garcia from any activity with their organization, rejecting this way any form of discrimination. And he said, I fear for Ryan's well-being, as he has declined multiple attempts for our help with mental health and substance abuse. And then not long ago, you also had Oscar De La Hoya, the Golden Boy, post on social media that they are disappointed with the way that Ryan is acting, with what he has said, with what he has done, and that they're going to support their fighter when it comes to getting the help that he needs. But he's his promoter. I can't see a way that Oscar De La Hoya doesn't come out and say, I was checking some of the audios on Twitter this morning. I was like, man, we can't even play them here. That's how bad they were. I'm like, how can you go as a public figure, as a multimillionaire, a boxer that's 25 years old, that you have your whole future in front of you after your biggest fight? Yes, it's a no contest now because you tested positive for PEDs that you say you didn't take. But then you go on social media and you go on a rant like this, and there's folks saying that he was drunk, that he wasn't in his five senses. In Mexico, I was told there's only two type of people that always tell the truth: kids and a drunk person. And this dude, he was saying some stupid stuff.
People, what did I just hear you say?
That in Mexico, I was told there's two kind of people that...
Back up. Go ahead.
Two kind of people that always tell the truth: kids and a drunk person.
That's spoken like a man that's never had a kid.
I've never had
a kid. Two kids, five grandkids, all right? The only time a child will tell you the truth is when they are in pain.
Besides that, never else?
Don't buy anything else. When do you have a kid? You'll find out for yourself. When you got a five-year-old sitting there looking you dead in the eye and lying right to your face, you're going to think of Bobby and go, God damn, that guy was right.
You'll
find out.
I don't have kids. So
that's pretty obvious.
That's what I said. In Mexico, that's what I was told.
Yeah, well, this is in the United States, and I wouldn't trust a kid as far as I can throw
him. And in this case, you go and listen to Ryan Garcia say all that kind of stuff, that he wasn't in his right state of mind, and it's like people – I was listening to people say, it's like, hey, maybe – he can't control what money and fame changed him. And other folks are saying, no, maybe money and fame are showing us who he really is. All I can say is I hope he gets help. This is not the type of people that you want young folks idolizing and then older people paying to go watch him fight. There's folks that are after this. They don't want to watch a single Ryan Garcia fight. They're like, hey, I'm not interested in it.
Did you ever think maybe he's just trolling the media?
Dude, you don't go out and troll people saying racist stuff. You don't go out there.
So he's an idiot. What do you want me to tell you? Maybe.
That's not acceptable, though.
Of course not. But I mean, you know, you never know.
Look, you want to talk trash about my team that I root for or about another fighter without going past that line, go for it. Once you cross that line, there's no way back. And I don't see Ryan Garcia making a successful return because he's always going to have that dark cloud hanging over him. And I'm just saying, I hope he gets help. There's already people backing down from supporting him. And I'm only going to see more people, I guess, leaving his camp and being like, no, we don't want to be associated with this kind of stuff. Well, with somebody you definitely want to be associated to is the Black Hole. They are home of the most notorious fans in football. Go to theblackhole.com, become a member today, especially if you're a diehard fan. All memberships are now lifetime memberships. Once a member, always a member. Shout out to Mark Jones. Shout out to Cisco. Shout out to Johnny, the whole crew with the Black Hole doing a fantastic job. Time for a break. We'll be right back after it, Raider Nation.